honor and glory. We thank you, Father, that your word, Father, will stand against all of the things the enemy would come against your people with. Lord, we believe your word and we trust in you tonight. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would anoint me to speak the word, that you would have me to speak tonight, and that we would hear it and receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking about Brother Scotty today. I was thinking about how that he's an example of faith. He's an example, you know, he lives what he preaches. And, you know, when you live what you preach, that's what God's wanting. He's wanting us to, you know, there's power. When you live what you preach, there's power in what you say. But if you say something but don't do it, there's no power in it. And so Brother Scotty has power because he does what he says. Glory to God. And if you have your Bible, look with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 11, or chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 35, did you know that we as believers, we've been given a life from God? We've been given a new life. And it's not according to the old life, but it's a brand new life. And the Bible said that whatever we do, we're to do in the name of Jesus. And how many knows that when you got saved, you were spiritually baptized into His name? The Bible says by one Spirit we're all baptized into Christ. And so water baptism is symbolic of what happens to you in the Spirit. You know, just like you got ducked down in the water and you come up in newness of life, well, the Spirit baptizes us into the name of Jesus. And so once you become a believer, you are in His name. And the thing of it is, sometimes, well, most of the time, we don't really know the full scope of what all's in that name. We don't understand the full power that we have as a believer. And as a result of it, we come up short of what God's wanting us to walk in. And what Brother Scott is talking about tonight is faith in God's Word. And that's how we're going to walk in the fullness of God, because God has to reveal to us what we have. And see, you can't really, unless it's tested and proven in our life, you know, we don't know if it's really real or not. If you just hear about it, but when you experience, when you have a test and you prove it and you believe it and you go through that trial and you see the glory of God in that trial, then you know that the word's true. And so tonight I'm going to be talking about what it means to live by faith. But here in Isaiah, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while he that will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And I'm going to back up to verse 38, where it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." And some translation says, "The just one shall live by faith." And the word just here, it means justified. It means a person that is justified by faith, by the blood of Jesus. And the word justified means just as if you never sinned. Now think about that. He said, the just as if you never sinned people will live by faith. And Paul talked about being in faith, the faith of Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say in the Lord, he said faith of Christ. So in other words, see, we have taken on Christ. We have been baptized into Christ, and we have His life abiding on the inside of us. And He said, the just as if they've never sinned people will live by faith, or they will have life by faith. They will experience life. They will experience, you know, and you think you could look at it another way too. They will do life by faith. When life circumstances comes up, they deal with it by faith. They're going to trust God by faith. And you say, well, what is faith? How do we know if it's really faith? Because, see, there's an opposite of faith. It's called fear. It's called natural things, what you see naturally with your natural senses. But when you're living by faith, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now think about that. He said faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? And the Bible even says Christ in you, the hope of glory. So one of the things is that Christ will be manifest in our life, that Christ will live through us. But he said it has to come through faith. And faith has nothing to do with what you see. Faith has nothing to do with what you feel. You know, but you know what? When the devil's trying to lie to you, when he's trying to mess you up, the first thing he does is brings fear to your mind. And he tells you, how do you feel? You feel scared. You feel upset. You feel broken. You feel like things is, you know, not going to work out. There's a fearful feeling comes on you. And then if you start thinking thoughts, you think wrong kind of thoughts, the thoughts that are telling you you're going to go down the tubes, you know, you're going to die, this is going to happen, you're going to lose that, or you're going to do this, you know. And so the first thing that starts happening is the devil always says, look. When he's trying to deceive you, he'll say, look at your problem. You ain't really healed because, look, you got pain in your body. You're not like Jesus, because just look, you mess up every day. You can't get God. God's not going to answer your prayer because you're not a good person. You messed up, you did this, you did that. But see, this is the thing about faith. This is the thing about being a Christian, is that it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith. It says, by grace you are saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so this is what we have to realize. See, then even the devil will come to you and say, well, you ain't earned it. You ain't done, you ain't good enough. You ain't done enough. And no matter how much you do, he's always going to tell you you didn't do enough. If you fast for 3 days, he's going to say you should have fasted 5 days. And if you don't fast, he's going to say you messed up because you're supposed to fast. And, you know, and if you witness to somebody, he's going to tell you you didn't witness to them right. You know, and he's always going to try to mess you up like that. So we have to realize that we're not justified because of how good we are. We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, what He did at Calvary. And so when God sees us through the blood, He sees us just like Jesus. And not only that, but we have the Spirit of Christ dwelling on the inside of us, and we have been baptized into the body of Christ. And so we are literally in His name in this earth today, living His life. He wants to live through us. He wants to get glory in this earth. And the Bible said that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Did you know that His life in us is what causes people that are in darkness to see light? It's the life of Jesus in us. And so, when we start thinking about the just shall live by faith, then you got to realize that there is an opposite of that. And I'm going to get into it in just a minute, but I'm going to go into chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, I want you to back. I want us to tie this together, though. See, there's not chapter 10 and then it stops and everything starts off again in chapter 11. It's the same context. When he's talking here and he said, the just shall live by faith. And then he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So he's saying here that people that are living by faith are people that don't have to see anything to believe it. That's what he's saying. He's saying that you don't have to have sense evidence to believe that the Word of God's true. See, in the Spirit of God, He will, the more we walk with the Lord and trust in Him, and we walk in peace and we walk in the love of God, and we believe the Word of God, it's like it gives you more confidence. When you get a prayer answered and you see God answer that prayer, that's why it said, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Because if you lose your confidence, if the devil can shake you and make you start questioning yourself and make you start saying, you know, you just ain't good enough. You know, you fall too short. But the Bible said we all fall short of the glory of God. But it's because it's not of works, but it's of faith, that it might be of grace. Glory to God. And so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how that so many people in this world today, Christians, that do not understand this principle, that we can literally experience the life of God by believing that we are in His name, by believing that whatever test you face in life is an opportunity for God to show His glory. Whatever you deal with, see, God knows what you're going to be tested with. And the Bible said there's no temptation taken us but such as common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it or to stand up under it. And so that means that in every trial, when something comes your way, you know, it's like God's already made a way through that. And I remember years ago, I was probably about 12, 13 years ago, I was working for this guy down on the lake, and I was running a backhoe, a track hoe, and I had to build a road around Smith Lake on the side of a slope. And I was cutting a road in, and I was having to throw boulders and stuff off to the side and level the road up as I went. And I came to a big rock, and it was in the ground, and when I started digging on it, I realized that I was going to have to dynamite it because I couldn't budget. And so my boss came up, and he said, have you tried to dig it up? I said, I can't dig that thing up. I said, this thing's big as a bus probably. And he said, well, try. And so I said, okay. So I started digging, and I dug around that. I kept digging and digging and digging. And finally, I seen it move just a little bit. And when I seen it move just a little bit, I said, I got excited, because I knew if it moved a little bit, that thing's fixing to come up. And so all at once, I kept digging. All at once, I pulled this rock up out of the ground, and it was as big as a car. And I pulled it up and got it up on the ground. It was like this tall, and like from here to that wall over there. And it was in front of me. And then I had to push it off the side of the mountain there, but I couldn't push it, I could only pull it. So I'm looking, I'm thinking, how am I going to get it off? So then I had to build a road over the rock, and I got over the rock, and then I had to drag the rock to the lake and push it off on the side of the lake. And so then when I done all that, it gave me confidence. So then the next time I came to a rock, and I said, I realized God was teaching me something out there that day, and I said, no matter what I face out here, I know I'm going to be able to overcome it. And so every time I would come to some kind of hard thing, and I'd think, this is the end of the road, I can't go any further, I'd say, nope, there's a way. There's a way around this. And I'd come to a rock, and I remember I came to this one rock, and it was right in my pathway. And it was a humongous rock, boulder. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, I can't move this rock. And all at once, I thought for a second. I said, all I got to do is go around it. So I just built a road around the rock. Just kept on going down the road. And so it was like everything that would happen to me. And so then I realized that's the way life is. A lot of times we come to a rock in our life or something that's hard, and we give up. And we say, I can't do nothing. This is as far as I can go. This is it. I'm done for. But God knows what you're fixing to face, and He's already made a way for you to overcome what you're fixing to deal with by faith. It's almost like we have to get excited about challenges. We have to get excited and say, hey, I'm taking this as a challenge in my life to overcome. And because if you don't, if you let fear, if you let discouragement and negative stuff get in your mind and in your life, you know, when that guy first told me to dig that rock up or see if I could dig it up, I said, there ain't no way I can dig this rock up. There ain't no way. But the more I dug, the more I started believing that I could. And then eventually I did. But my point was this. I mean, I was teeter-tottering on that spot to where I didn't think it could be done. But then I started believing, and I went over the hump, and then I was able to do it. And so when you're at that place in your life, especially when something looks impossible, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. But if you won't give up, you will win. I remember one time there was a lady that I was ministering to. She was going through a divorce. And the Lord gave me a word and told her, I said, you will win if you don't quit. I said, you're going to win. And the husband gave her divorce papers. She said, what am I going to do? I said, sign them. I said, but it don't mean he's going to... I said, God's going to take care of this. She signed the divorce papers. They had 30 days till it was up. When right before the 30th day come, he come and fell on his knees and asked her to forgive him and took her back. And they tore up the papers, and they've been married ever since. And that's been 30 years ago. But the thing of it was, see, it's easy to give up and believe that you can't go any further. But God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Look with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. In verse 4, this is the story of David. How many remembers how that Samuel came and anointed David to be king? And Samuel, the Bible said that none of Samuel's words fell to the ground. Whatever, when he said something, they knew if Samuel said this, it was the word of God, and they would stand on it. So when David had been anointed, here comes a bear out there, steals one of his sheep, and David slew the bear, got the sheep back. And then a lion came, and the same thing happened again. But I believe it was because David believed the word of God so much that he knew he could not die because he had not become... Because, see, Samuel said, you're going to be king. See, so he believed the word of God that he was going to be king no matter what. And so when that lion come, he thought, hey, I can't die because I ain't been made king yet. And so he went forth and he slew the lion and he slew the bear. And then he goes into town, and here is Goliath in there mocking the people of God. In chapter 17 in verse 4, it said, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And I looked this up, and I think this means he was 9.5 to 10 foot tall. I mean, that's a big guy. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him and stood. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Now, this is a spiritual parallel here. Goliath represented something. He represented a spiritual warfare that you and I are in right now. Goliath represented what you see. Because, see, it described how big he is, how big his sword is, how big all the things are. You know that, and so it was making us to see that he was this huge man. And here's David, a young boy, 16 or 17 year old, and he's fixing to go face this giant. But this giant says, see, he, and really I titled this one time before years ago called The Five Enemies of Faith. And because the five enemies of faith were what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you feel, and not going forward. There were five. So Goliath was actually what was opposing the life of God in them. Just like you and I today, there's gigantic things in our life that tries to be bigger than God, our senses. Because you just think about David. I mean, he was just a young guy, but you think about him looking at this giant. But see, something had happened to David. He had got anointed with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost always deals with fear. The Holy Ghost always deals with faith in us and causes us to be in a right spirit. And David sat out there and sang and worshiped God, and he was in a right spirit. So when he goes into town, and this giant's up there, and he said, if you send out a man... And it said he was the champion of the Philistines. Or you could say he was the champion of the devil. He was their number one. He was the number one weapon of the devil. And he says, if you send somebody out and you kill me, we will serve you. But if I kill you, you're going to have to serve us. Now I want you to think about something. What that's saying is, if you can kill, and that word kill means to defeat, to slay, or to kill, or to beat. And he said, if you can beat us, then we're going to serve you. Did you know that if you can beat what you see, then the devil's going to have to serve you? But if you let what you see beat you, then you're going to serve the devil. You're going to be his servant. If you let the things you see or the things you hear, the things you feel, and these things, if you let that dictate to you what you're going to believe, then you're going to serve the devil. You're not going to be able to overcome the devil because you're going to be looking at the things around you all the time. And so then we see David, he goes up to Saul, and Saul, he begins to tell Saul, you know, that he wants to go out and fight against Goliath. And it says, in verse 32, And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Glory to God. That's why, you know, you need to rehearse your past victories. You know, things God's done for you in the past, it builds your faith up when you talk to yourself. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put it on a helmet of brass upon his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon him and with his armor and his said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And that was to slay the 5 enemies of faith. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked upon and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Glory to God. Now think about that. See, he's going in the name of the Lord. He's not going in his name. And that's just like you and I. We're not going in our name. We're going in his name. You know, and so David, he said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines unto this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And remember that scripture that said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. See, David saw something. He saw himself cutting off the head of Goliath. He saw himself defeating him and slaying him and cutting off his head. And then the Bible said that he ran. And it said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Did you know that when the devil sees you overcome what you see, he's going to flee? Glory to God. If you can overcome what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you feel, the enemy is going to run. And not only that, but you know what happened to David? He got promoted. Did you know that when you overcome in a trial like that, it promotes you to the next level? David got promoted. When you overcome in a faith trial that you're going through and you're not looking at the things you see, it promotes you to the next level. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got promoted to the next level because they trusted God right in the middle. They believed that God was going to make a way where there was no way. And see, the same thing's happening to you and I today. We read these stories about them and we think, yeah, but that was a long time ago. But did you know we can actually use this as an example for you and I when you're facing something? Even if it's something, I mean, all of us face stuff. We face stuff with our children, with our finances, with our marriage, with all kind of things that we deal with in life. And if we don't get our eyes on the problem, but look to the Lord, then you can see that thing change. You really can. And God, I think the Bible said He takes pleasure. It said that if we draw back from faith, it said He takes no pleasure in us. See, God, some people say, oh, I'm just a realist. I just call it like I see it. You can't call it like you see it. If you do, you're going to call for the devil. You're going to be agreeing with the devil if you just call it like you see it. You have to call it like God sees it. You have to call it like the Word of God sees it. Because when you do that and you put your faith in it and you trust God, God will make a way. He'll help you through whatever you're facing. And you might make a mistake sometimes. You might miss a turn. You might not make the right turn at the right time. But you know what? You'll learn and you'll think, next time I'm going to make the right turn. I'm going to do it the way God wants me to do it. And you'll see something happen. But the Bible says, excuse me, it says, faith worketh by love. Did you know that if you don't stay in the love of God, you're not going to be in the right spirit? The Bible says faith worketh by love, and it means faith is energized by love. It's faith is, and so if the devil can get you out of the love of God, and see, I was thinking about something the other day, that God created all of us in His own image, in the likeness of God. And the Bible said God is love. And He put the same Spirit on the inside of us. And that means that God wants us to love everybody, even if they're our enemies. Even if people that hates us, He wants us to love people. Because there's something happens to you when you start hating, when you start getting bitter, when you start getting angry and unforgiveness in your life. It gets you in a wrong spirit. And it causes you not to have faith. You know, your faith don't work like it did before. And so the Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me that you can keep yourself in the love of God. But see, the thing of it is a lot of times in this world, the flesh, we always make excuses for our flesh and we say, oh, nobody can love that person. You know, I got a right to be mad because of this or because of that. And we make excuses for ourselves for being bitter, for being angry, or for getting a negative frame of mind. See, when we get in a negative frame of mind, it's easy to start seeing all the bad. You know, when you're angry, when you get bitter, and when you're angry, when you get in a negative frame of mind, you know, you see the negative in everybody, in everything. But when you're in the love of God, you're able to see good in people even though they might be bad. I said before that it's not how you treat your friends that determines and shows whether you're a Christian or not, but it's how you treat your enemies. It's how you treat people that don't like you. Because the Bible said God loves, He causes the sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. He does good to all people. He forgives. But the thing of it is, we have to realize that God, this life's on the inside of us. And see, God's trying to get us to reach up higher, to reach out for more of what we've got. You know, you may say, well, I just got a bad temper and I can't help it. Yes, you can. Because there's a life on the inside of you that can help you overcome that. There's a life on the inside of you, glory to God, that will cause you to overcome any obstacle that you face. But you know what? We can't make excuses for ourselves. But not only that, but did you know that when you show the love of God, when you let love work through you, it causes you to experience more of the love of God. It causes you to feel more like a Christian. You know, when you're full of the love of God, you're going to feel like you're supposed to feel. But when you're full of bitterness, you're not going to feel like you're supposed to feel. You're going to feel more like the devil because it's just the way it is. But see, there's something about on the inside of everybody God put inside of us that we want to love. There's something on, you know, you see people, they can't love people, so they'll go get a dog and, you know, I'm going to love this dog. You know, people want to love. There's something inside of people. They want to show love. And so if they can't show it to people, they're going to show it to an animal, you know, or something like that. But see, God wants us to show love to everybody and to the dogs and to the cats because we've got plenty of them. But there's something on the inside of us that God put in there, and it's the love of God. God wants us to realize what's on the inside of us. There's an ability in us to love like God loves. There's an ability there. And when you start reaching up, did you know that love can cause you to reach into heaven and get a gift from God and bring it down into this earth and cause somebody to be healed? When you have compassion for somebody and you can cry out to God and you can reach up into heaven and it can literally pull something out of heaven into this earth. You know, years ago when I first started pastoring, I was knocking on doors and I was inviting people to come to church, and I went to this house and this man had cancer and he was in awful pain and he was just sitting there suffering so bad. And so I started praying for him, and I just had so much compassion for this man, and I just kept praying and praying for him to be healed. But I didn't really see anything happen. And I left and I got in the car and I started going to the next house. And I started praying and I said, Lord, and honestly, on the inside of me, something was crying out to God. I said, God, I want the healing power of God to help people like that. And so I went to the next house. And when I got there, there was an old man that had come to my church, and he had a daughter, and she was about 60. He was about 90. And so I invited his daughter to church, and she said, well, I got bursitis, and I got this, and I got that. And I said, well, God can heal that. And she said, well, before you go, I want you to pray for me. And I said, okay. And so I started to go, and I went over, and she went and sat down on the couch, and then she just stuck her hand out like that. And I just took her by the hand and I started praying for her. And when I started praying for her, she just started, her arm just went to doing like this. And then when I got through praying, she started just rubbing her arm like this. And I didn't know what I'd done to her. You know, I said, what's wrong? And she said, nothing. And she said, it don't hurt anymore. She said, I've had bursitis in this shoulder in my arm for 6 months. And said, it's hurt solid for 6 months. And she said, it's gone. And I said, really? And then she said, pray again. And so then, but the woman never did come to church after that. And I seen the lady about 6 months later, and she's still healed. God healed her. But see, it was like I realized that when I started crying out to God because I seen the compassion for that man, it was like God sent a gift into my life. And see, when we let love motivate us, it can cause us to draw things into our life that we're able to help other people, to even give a word to somebody or to minister to somebody, whatever they need. But see, if love can't come get through you, it can't get to you. You gotta let it go through your life. You gotta let His love flow through you if you want it to get to you. But if you refuse to give it out, it's not going to come in. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Glory to God. And we all know that principle. But it's true when it comes to the things of God, the love of God, the judging. If you judge people, you're going to get back what you judged, like Scotty said. And so it's the truth. And so I just want to encourage you tonight that you have a life on the inside of you that's bigger than what you could ever imagine. And no matter what kind of trial you face, and this is what I realize. You know, it's hard to be happy in life all the time if you're looking at all the problems around your life. Because your children ain't living for God, or if you got family members that's having problems, your kids having problems, it's like we suffer because of what we see our children going through. But did you know that there's a way that we can live of where that we trust in God with our children, we cast in all of our care upon the Lord, to where that we're able to have joy every day because we know God's going to take care of it. How many knows if you believe God's going to take care of something, you're going to act different, you're going to feel different? If you know somebody's going to get saved next week or next month or next year, and you know they're going to be saved and go to heaven, you're going to just start praising God. Well, you know what? When we start praying for our kids or praying for problems and things around us that makes us sad, and we start taking it to God and say, God, I just cast this care on you and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I believe you're going to do it. And then you start acting like you believe it's going to happen. And you know what? You'll see it happen and you'll get to have joy all the time. But if we get our eyes on the problems and things going on around us, it's going to get us depressed all the time. We're going to say, well, I can't be happy because my kids ain't happy. This person's not happy. That person's sick or whatever. But see, when we give it all to God and we cast it up on Him, we can have joy all the time. How many believes that? Yes, give the Lord a hand. Glory to God. Praise God. Does anybody need prayer tonight for anything?